Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. Grateful to God, He has us here in the book of Titus. And we're in the first chapter. And I thank the Lord how last week, as we launched into this precious letter to Titus from Paul, we realized in studying a little bit about the life of Titus how much he meant to Paul, how he was endeared so by Brother Paul. This brother was a true joy to Paul. I'm grateful to God to rejoice in how Paul needed the fellowship. I mean, again, I'm thankful that just a man, and a man, as he said, all of what transpired in my life to any gain was because of the grace of God that was with me. And I thank the Lord for this testimony. And Titus was such a yoke fellow to him. I thank God how the Lord has encouraged some of the brethren to use sometimes a cherubim friend. And I love that. You know, ones that you just sit across the mercy seat from and gaze, eyes affixed on that mercy seat and that blood. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's why we rejoice together. That's why there's a bond and a love that continues to grow because of the grace of God and that blood upon the mercy seat. And then as we studied a little bit more about his life, I think it's important to understand this. And again, not that we're magnifying the vessel ever. We know it's the treasure in the earthen vessel. But by grace, again, what unwavering faith and a testimony that was recorded of this brother Titus. When others that were so pressed by the legalists, whether it was Peter, whether it was Barnabas, they buckled under that pressure, but not Titus. I'm thankful to God how he stood, and grateful how he believed in the word and its keeping power. And as we found out, Titus was Paul's appointed minister to Corinth. And it's going to even get a little bit deeper in what kind of encouragement was in the life of Titus. Because you have to go back and think again about these Corinthians. They were like a bunch of unruly teenagers. They really were. You go look at this, the things that they participated. They would not settle down in Paul's gospel. But Titus was given the grace. He was given the grace. Paul didn't even want to go there. He wanted to get out of there. He loved them, but Titus was given such a special grace to give the grace of God and the word of his grace to these people, and he truly lived up to his name. See, his name means the nurse. Titus's name means the nurse, the one who rears up others. And in verse 5, as we are going to begin, you can see as we go on into this precious letter, what a son in the faith to Paul was this Titus. Isn't that wonderful? He said that about Timothy, and you can just hear that melody being played in your heart, born and raised in the gospel of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You one of those sons? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to the Lord. I'll tell you what, I had the rocks thrown at me again this week for it. Exciting. Just ridiculed. And boy, I'll tell you, I was even sent some things that, poor fella, he didn't know what he was even doing. But sending me scripture that was written to the heathen. Poor guy. I said, how can you call me brother if I'm not a son of God? But never mind. But, you know, we just pray for people. That's the enemy that does that, you know. It's not flesh and blood. That's just the enemy that gets into people's mind when you get away from the gospel of Christ. And it begins to make you hate. It begins to get bitterness in your life. And thanks be to God that Jesus lives in us. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go ahead and read from verse 5. For this cause, this is Paul speaking, left I thee in Crete. So he left Titus in Crete. that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now, before we go on speaking about what was going on here, I'd like you to jump to verse 12. It says, the Cretans, those were the ones at Crete, are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And that means lazy gluttons. And all I could think again was, wow, what a group to be sent to. Titus, what did you do to Paul? You ever read the Word of God like that? No, but we know that that wasn't it. We know that this was the Holy Ghost encouraging Paul in that divine direction that God does in our lives. And he sent this brother. And again, what a special grace that had to be apprehended by Titus to endure such ones and yet to love them and patiently feed them the word of his grace. I'll tell you, you read things in the Word of God, and these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is your real family here, you know. And you can go back and say, well, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You think of how these different ones were pressed, as Paul even was forced to brag, you know, when they were trying to say, well, I suffered more and I did this. Paul said, okay, if you were going to go there, you forced me. And here's the Holy Ghost going to write it. Here's all the things that I went through. Now, none of us have gone through that. And by the grace of God, I'm confident we won't. But as he summed it all up, it wasn't me at all. It was the grace of God that was with me. Hallelujah. See, we all have the same glorying, though. Isn't that wonderful? See, God had an appointed path for Paul. And if he'd walk in that path, he would be seated in the midst of the throne with him, ruling and reigning. Oh, Christ, my bridegroom. And I can say that by his grace, the before ordained good works that I should walk therein, and you should walk therein, and you should walk therein. And it's a path appointed for each and every one of us. If we will walk that path, if you will ride your camel and let the Holy Ghost just get on with it, hallelujah, you'll win him too. And it will be that precious reward, Christ, my bridegroom. So hallelujah that we know that this grace, this great grace has been given. Now, there were many things, as it says in verse 5, that lacked at Crete. And they needed leading and support. And really, they were just needing downright correction because of many of the things that were being practiced. But as we're going to start out here, it's with the elders and the bishops and things of appointing these ones. As we read this, and let's go ahead and read that bottom part there again in verse 5, where it says, set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now, what this is speaking to is they were laying hands on men suddenly. Basically, they were ordaining men at a whim and not for the right reason. And these were the men, brothers and sisters, that were the overseers of the church. There was such responsibility. They were appointing ones to positions that they had no business in. And I'd like you to be reminded back there in 1 Kings chapter 13. You remember that wicked king Jeroboam? Listen to when God finally cut it off. He did a lot of wicked things. But in 1 Kings 13, and you go to verse 33, listen to what really, just as you said, the straw that broke the camel's back. Here it is. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil ways, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. This is serious, brothers and sisters. This isn't done at a whim. This is appointed of the Lord. This is something that is vital to a meeting. I'm grateful to God as the Lord just so strikes my heart over and over how thankful I am for the elders in our meeting. I'm grateful to God of that encouragement and testimony and, again, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and lift them up to the Lord and pray for them. The attack is there, but God is faithful. But you see, oftentimes in meetings, brothers and sisters, meetings intentionally do this. They try to get people busy in a meeting. We heard Brother Hill talk about this many times. It's a strategy, a ploy. It's just the works of the flesh. Try to get somebody busy, hook them, get them into a position, make them think, oh, I am somebody. And they often do that with elders too in a meeting. They'll often take the ones that might have a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of this. Well, we'll get them in here and we'll make them feel like they really belong, and then they won't go away. You see? I don't know why they were doing it, but they were doing what they were doing outside of the will of God. And brothers and sisters, God help us to stand and withstand, and having done all to stand against this. God help us to never give titles to people that would appeal to the flesh, to exalt the flesh, to think that somehow I'm important because of something that somebody gave me. Let me tell you something. Every life in this meeting, by God's grace, is important and vitally important. And know this, brothers and sisters, and it's because of one thing. It's because of the grace of God. It's because of Christ in you. And that is it. And I'm thankful to God that it's not what title or place we have in a meeting. It's where the Lord places you in the body of Christ. And that's what we are about. That's the value to our life. And the Lord help us not to try to be busy except about one thing, and how we rejoice in it. Studying. Yes, that laboring, hallelujah, to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, not ashamed, hallelujah, rightfully dividing the word of truth. That's what this is about. That's the calling that's upon our lives, brothers and sisters, to know the love of Christ. And the Lord help us if we would ever want to appeal to somebody's flesh. If I did that, brothers and sisters, I would be hurting you. I would hinder you. The only way to grow, as we know in the Word of God, is we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These things must be preached. We cannot be shy with these things, brothers and sisters. This is the Word of the Lord, and we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We know what man is about. And man is about their bellies. Man is about their own wants. Man is a completely selfish creature. And that's what man will go after. What pleases me? Well, by the grace of God, we are about what pleases him. And that's a simple thing. It's one thing, faith. And faith in one thing, the Word of God. Hallelujah. So this is our life, and we thank him for it. But you notice again, even in this verse, the authority that was given to Paul. He says to ordain them as I have appointed thee. Isn't that wonderful? I just love that again. You think of that boldness that Brother Paul had, not because of Paul, but because of Christ in him, what God had anointed him with, the bold steps that he could take in the Word of God, such authority, as he says so clearly, and God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Praise the Lord. I hope you think of this, and because it is. This is my gospel. Hallelujah. This was written to me too. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful to God that, again, this was Paul in that message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But now here comes the testimony as we go on here of the word of his grace in the vessels that he calls the bishops. And again, this is the life that not in word only, but in deed and in truth. We can know a lot of things, we can spew a lot of things, but the testimony never is real until you live all things. And that's what God does. And I want us to look at these as we go forward, not as a list. This isn't, well, let's check them off. It's not that at all. This is the evidence of the working of the grace of God. This is so precious how, you know, God does this. And let's go ahead and begin reading from verse 6. It says there, if any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, we can look at these on the surface, and I believe on the surface it's very evident of the testimony of the life of ones that God will call and God will show forth that will be the elders and bishops. But if you recall in our study in Timothy, brothers and sisters, this encouragement to the elders and the bishops is truly to us, Timothy's and Titus's. This is our message. This is our feeding. And what the Lord really encouraged my heart with is, see, we're not to be children. We're to grow up. We're to put away the childish things. Hallelujah. We're to go on in the grace of God. And we're going to read later on in Titus, in second chapter of Titus, of what the grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all men. It teaches us. It causes us to look and to love his appearing. It causes us, hallelujah, to purify, and to glorify and to magnify God in our lives. I just thank the Lord that it's all in his precious grace. But in this grace, brothers and sisters, we need to take the grace to abide as fully grown sons, living examples of the truth and love doctrine that flows through our lives. So in that, I'm encouraged by the Spirit to go to another layer of evidence. And what I'm speaking of here is the evidence of vessels that truly add to the usefulness of the husband. I'm talking about vessels that are used to pour forth Paul's precious gospel. Ones that are clothed with the righteousness of saints. You talk about a wedding garment. Hallelujah. This is it. And this is the description, brothers and sisters, of these ones and the life that will come forth, which is the very life of Jesus. So as we start here, the very first one is in verse 6, blameless. Think of that word, blameless. Now I know that the moment I gave my heart to God or any child of God, it's just as if I never sinned, justified. Praise God for that sinless perfection done in a moment. Praise be to God. My sins, as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Praise God. But this is something even more here. We're talking about a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. As it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, it says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You talk about a chaste virgin to him. That's what's so precious. That's what's so wonderful, is that God has offered this up to us, to, again, this better thing, that we would produce such beauty in our lives. But what it is it's all the grace of God. See, if we'll take in the grace of God, brothers and sisters, we will transform from glory to glory, even into his very image. And I love that. And that is that precious relationship that we have with him. Goes on to say, the husband of one wife. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll read about that and what a precious meaning that's in there. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Do you see how he says that I may, that I might? Again, it's like, again, in Romans 8, as it says, we're heirs of God because we're children of God. But it says, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we would suffer together with him. See, and again, this is something that the Lord is offering us. But hallelujah, there's a godly jealousy going on. And we're talking about first love time, aren't we? And I see this so sweetly as he calls for the husband of one wife. She's a chaste virgin to him. This is my only love. This is my first love. Praise be to God. This is the Philadelphia company. And we'll go on to see how much that it refers to that. Then the next here is children, faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Again, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to tell you this. There's many a sweet pastor that have some very unruly kids. I pray that the Lord keep my boys. They sure can be unruly. But I know of a precious couple. They have a son that's down in prison. So should I just go ahead? Oh, well, they couldn't qualify for that. Let me tell you something. If you're going to take this in your own discernment, in your own judgment, we wouldn't have one elder, we wouldn't have one pastor. Do you see how stupid that is? So get your stupid, self-righteous wickedness and get it out. Because that's all that is. We need to go to the word of the Lord. Now we understand that the grace of God, it anoints our lives. It causes us to be the men and women of God that we never could be and never even imagined to be, causing us to will and to do of his good pleasure. But you know what his great pleasure is? Believe in the Lord. Isn't that his greatest pleasure? See, you can't please God without faith. And yet God's precious children are all going around trying to figure out how they're going to please God with their actions. Faith worketh by love. See, if you see his love, if you'll grow in the love of God, your faith will grow. Without understanding how much he loves you, you will never grow in faith. That's the only way faith works. It works by love. I could have faith to move mountains, but if I don't have the love of God, it doesn't profit me a thing. Know this. It's the love of God. It's not how many verses I can memorize. I hope that you memorize a bunch of them. But that's not it. It's what's working and believing in my life. And by the grace of God, I have left it to him. Lord, thou knowest, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. And you know what? It is written as my life. It is written as your life. That's yours. That is your life. That is what you breathe, is faith. If you're a child of God, that's it. Everything else you think or maybe appear is just a lie. And you need to understand that. I'm thanking the Lord more and more. I realize that I am blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, he lives in me. It is all there. There is nothing lacking. As the Holy Ghost is so sweetly there to take the things of Christ and shew them unto me. Little Lord of all, as it says in Galatians 4:1, I've got it all. It's just growing up into who I am. I am in Christ. How wonderful. That's what it is. And praying fervently, God, let me see that love, that great love that you have for me, that your promises are yea and amen, that the way of escape has already been made, that you will perfect that which concerns me. And I know, and you know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It's a beautiful symphony. I was thinking of some of those instruments again, and I mentioned it the other day. You hear them by themselves, you say, oh, that's a train wreck. What is that for? It sounds like something got hurt. But you put it all together. Oh my. Like making a fine meal. You might taste something out of its place. And whatever it might be, a spice or something. You said, why would you put that in there? But without that put in there, it's never the masterpiece that it could be. Has to be that way. And I thank God how, again, we're seeing how great he is, how magnificent and how faithful our Lord is to always do it the way we never thought. That's how God does it, and I'm thankful for that. But you think about these faithful children. And again, another layer here tonight in that. And you can see here with the Word of God, that's the fruit, brothers and sisters, that comes forth out of our lives. This is what this is. And I think to the ones that are pastors and teachers that preach Paul's gospel. And I've said it many times. See, the proof of the quality of what's really going on in a meeting, it's not the building. It's not if it's on the TV channels. It's not in how many people attend it. It's not in how financially well they are doing. The evidence, praise God, is in the feeding and the faithfulness to that ministry is the sheep. And that's it. What are the condition of the sheep? And I thank the Lord for the loveliest of sheep. Again, that the word of his grace produces every single time. When you speak truth in love, I'll tell you what, you'll get fine sheep. When your fellowship in a meeting by his grace is in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ, oh my, what love, what tenderness, what from glory to glory lives, the full overcomers walk through the pews. Thanks be to God. Ones that, you know what, I don't know if I'm living here or over there. It's almost like being there, and it is. And I am seated over there in the heavens in Christ. But see, this is what it is about. We're not affixed, and that was what was so sweet to me for Sunday, thinking about things. So many get stuck in a glory. Don't get stuck in a glory. Say, thank you, Lord, I enjoy it. But not that I'm not enjoying it to what the Lord has as he's received it, but I'm ready for the next one from glory to glory. I was thinking about some people's testimony. You just hear the same testimony over and over and over and over, and it's precious. Don't get me wrong. When God does something in your life, it's awesome, and you remember those things. But I'm not going to be stuck in the man I was, and I'm not going to be stuck in the man I am. I'm going to glory in that man. The man I hope to be. Praise the Lord. That's the testimony I want to have. That's the testimony by God's grace he wants you to have. Is Lord, the man that I hope to be. Oh, I thank God for this. It's a wonderful time, brothers and sisters. Verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Oh, my. Isn't that just a precious thing as the Lord brings that out again? The grace of God. It's the grace of God. And what testimony the grace of God as we yield to him, causing us to will and to do of his good pleasure. I was talking to a man not too long ago, and he was telling me, of a magnificent testimony. But you could see where the testimony was starting to become a glorying in his flesh of what he was delivered from. But the glorying was not what he was delivered from, is how he was acting now. And I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I haven't done this, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? And I kind of have to tell you, not to compare anything, so don't go running away with this. But, you know, the Lord gives us moments thinking how Paul, well, okay, now you're going to cause me to boast about something for a moment, huh? Well, I can say by the grace of God, as far as somebody's natural life, the Lord's protected me from pretty much a lot of things. As far as cigarettes and drugs and not being drunk and all that. But I told that man, if that was my glory, and I would be a total loss. If that was my glory in for any way, shape, or form, or to think that that makes me any closer to God, I'm as wicked could be, because that's my dirty self-righteousness. Now, I thank God for that testimony that, you know what, the grace of God that was with me kept me from a lot of things. But the grace of God that is with me and was with me, even when I entered into some things, praise the Lord. Praise God. If our glorying is not in His grace, we've missed it all. But see, a bishop must, again, be blameless as the steward of God. I thank the Lord, what the God has called us to, that relationship, that kinsman, and the empowering, the anointing, the privilege, the family of God, being not just messengers, but vessels, hallelujah, that anointed with this truth in love. What a precious thing that God does in our lives. And it goes on here to say, not self-willed. That's a huge thing. See, this is the virtuous woman here. There's no thought of herself. There's no thought of her feelings. Even the myrrh. I thank God how the Lord had to encourage that sweet Song of Solomon Shulamite. Honey, I'm giving you these things, but don't get caught in the trial. You're going to miss it. We need to rejoice and be thankful, but God help us to not, again, be distracted and continue to wait and to long for Him. And when He's ready to go, may we just move. Praise the Lord. See, that virtuous woman saw to the ways of her household. Wasn't that wonderful? She was caught up with the family of God, that it was all about Him, Christ, my head, and His precious fruit, again, that comes through our lives. Not my will, but thy will be done. And that's a life of victory. Goes on to say, not soon angry. See, this is one that is meek. This is one that is like Him. This is one, praise God, that receives the blows and has the rocks thrown at him at times. And yet they're not trying to prove their point or let me get my principle across. They're laying aside every weight. And thanks be to God, not trying to pick up dead things. Don't do that. Don't. God encourages my life time and time again. Sometimes when you have a quick mind, a good mind, let me tell you something, that can be a very deadly mind. Be slow to speak. Be quick to hear. It's amazing where the Lord will take you. Not given to wine. How people just get on with different things and get hooked about, well, we're going to talk about this, and should he be drinking that, and my goodness. See, this is talking about intoxication, brothers and sisters, that the only high that we would have by the grace of God is Him. Huh? Let me tell you something. David was delirious. You talk about a high. You can't get that high except in God. And that's what he had. And you don't need anything else to entertain your mind or take your mind away. It's just him. And I'm talking about him and his thoughts to me. See, that's what I'm enamored with. I have to tell you, because that's what he goes on about in the Word of God. Honey, I love you. You're so striking. All because of the grace that you take. All because of the Holy Ghost that continues to minister to you, and that you do believe that with one glance of your eyes you take the grace of God. Whew, you melt me. Do you believe the Word of God? That's the Word of the Lord. That's what He's doing in our lives. That's what He wants us to take from Him is... I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. That's how she finishes that. I just love it. It's done. Yeah, I love him, and I sure desire him. But what gets it all? I'm his. I am my beloved's, and it's his desire that's towards me. God help us to get it. And more and more and more. See, nothing can take you higher than that when you really see how Jesus loves you. That's how beautiful it is. From the very beginning, when you realize he loves you so much, he died for you. Hallelujah. No striker. That means not quarrelsome. See, bridal saints, by God's grace, they're too occupied with him to enter into that kind of nonsense. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a person that says, oh, you got to hear me. Don't do that. No. Don't be someone that says, well, we've got to settle this, when it's already been settled and finished in Him. Amen? Come on. Oh, no, I got to drive that point in. You talk about beating a dead horse. It's called the dead old man. And it's sad. But when you go that way, when you're going to be one that wants to just quarrel, you're unruly. Don't give in to that. You may even have a personality that can be an infirmity. Now, a lot of people say, oh, God changed me, God changed me. Let me tell you something. That might be a thorn that He gives you, that you always need to submit to that. You're aware that it's there. God, tender my heart. And it's amazing how some of them thorns, He will remove them. But some of them, praise be to God, He'll keep them there to keep you so dependent upon Him. Don't you see why we're all geared different? Every one of us got different buttons. Huh? You know, I sit across the way and say, oh, can't believe that bothers you. It doesn't bother me. And then yet some stupid little thing that couldn't bother anybody just sets me into fighting. Yeah. Learn to walk in your own shoes. And pray for one another. This is, again, His body. This is the body that we're in. I don't despise my elbow. Shoulder doesn't get mad at my knuckle. That would just be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Oh, my body's fighting with one another. All the parts are coming, you know, into... It's crazy. How much more the body of Christ, huh? Oh, may we just receive from the head. Settle down. Not given to filthy lucre. Now, again, ones that don't have their affections set on bigger barns, with food and raiment therewith to be content. And I love that, you know, because, you know, God has been mighty good to us. Even in this time of, they call recession, depression, obsession, whatever it might be. You know, we have a lot more than that, don't we? Every single one in this meeting has more than just food and raiment. Come on, you know it. But He's talking about here the evidence in spirit that truly, again, that bridal one, Christ, this in Christ, what one I more. That's what this heart says. This is what this one rejoices in. I am satisfied with Jesus alone. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, actually from verse 11. As Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He was not just instructed in this. He lived it. He was graced, praise God, to receive what blessing it is to realize that I am in the perfect moment as my mind is stayed upon Him to continue to go on to win His best. To the penny in my bank account. The hair on my head to my thought afar off. He's got it all. It's that perfect. He's that exact. He knows the sands of the sea. He does know the hair in your head. He knows your thought afar off. He knows the stars that He set in heaven. He knows all that. He knows you. And I'm thankful to God that He knows us in a sense of exactly what we need. Again, going back to those before ordained good works that we should walk therein. You talk about a path that is completely laid out. That is what He has done for us. But as we read there in Philippians, as we started there, getting excited about what the Lord's putting on our hearts tonight. But it says that I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here it is. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, I can do nothing I can not do a thing, but I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. Which strengthens me. And I'm so grateful that we know that. I'm so thankful that by His grace that lives in us. Goes on to say, but a lover of hospitality. See, this is when not just keeping people in your house, and that's a wonderful thing, but this is talking about into the fold, into the meeting, just like a Paul, kind of having that kooky attitude, who's going to be that next fish by God's grace? Praying for ones that come in and praying for ones that are here, that we win His best, that we finish with nothing but a full joy. That it is the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That there is an insatiable desire. It's the very desire of the Lord that we want this not only for our own lives, brothers and sisters, but for one another. And what a glorious giving and receiving it is, that Sea of Galilee that goes through this glorious body, and what a blessing it is. Goes on to say, lover of good men. That's like precious faith. That's assembling the much the more as we see that day approaching. That's some of the greatest evidence of the bridal ones. And brothers and sisters, this isn't just hanging around with Christians. This is hanging around and rejoicing, brothers and sisters, of ones of like precious faith. Ones that are set for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now you may say, well, brother, you're reading a lot into that. And I said, no, it's not reading a lot into that. If you understand what this word in the Greek is, good men, do you know it's from the same root word as Philadelphia? It's the truth. It's exactly what this is what this whole thing is. These are the ones that are going to win Him. Praise be to God. This is from that root. You will see that. Filio. And I am thankful to the Lord how He brings these things out in our lives. These aren't coincidence here, brothers and sisters. This is line upon line. Now, we have this wonderful foursome that He brings up right after this. Sober. I'm so thankful that we have fun in the Lord. I do. I'm grateful to God. There's pastors that think I am absolutely nuts when I say that. I was speaking with a sister today and just being so thankful. You know, you laugh with your spouse like none other that you laugh with. You laugh with things with them, and in a way, and in intimate things and things that are very personal, like you laugh with no one else. And that's how it is with the Lord as you go on with Him. You do. You speak with Him as a friend, face to face. I thank God that veil, it's been written twain, and how we go in there. But what I'm getting at here is, even though that it's fun, and even though that there's such rejoicing, it's the most serious time there is. It's the sober time. It's the time to be alert. It's the time to be awake. It's the time to be looking for that second appearing. It's the time to be loving His appearing. And focused in that, not drawn away with as that given to wine, that intoxication. See, that's the sleeping that's come upon the church at this time. See, the thief that cometh in the night in 1 Thessalonians 5, he's coming. He's going to take it in the night. Don't be asleep in the night. We're children of the light. We're not like that. And I just can't imagine that people read that. Well, then why is he saying that? Because there's children of the light that are sleeping. That's why he's saying that. We're not of that. We're not like that. So don't be that. That's why 1 Thessalonians 4, which is so absolutely mighty, speaking about the first trump, that gathering in the air, you'll never get that unless you understand 1 Thessalonians 5 as well too. That's why he's encouraging you, be sober. Don't be sleeping. This is serious time. I have illustrated it many times. You know, it's like asking somebody to marry you, and they say, oh, yes, I want to marry you. And you give them that ring, and you're proposing to them, and, you know, you're down on that knee, and here you go, and she just was looking at you a minute ago, and here you're starting to put it on, and she's looking off at everything else. honey, I'm here. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, you do what you got to do. I got to think about that. This is a wonderful example of this. Paying attention, not to be distracted. As it says, tend upon the Lord without distraction. He's a jealous God. And this is the Father that's searching through that Holy Ghost for that goodly pearl. He's seeking, as that precious, wonderful story of Isaac and Rebekah, how the master sent the servant, the Holy Ghost, to go get her, to go find her. This is who she's going to be. And by the grace of God, she'll be known. You'll see. And woo her and bring her to me. And I'll tell you, that's that Father. See, he's seeking such that worship him, the true worshiper, in spirit and in truth. This is the Father. And I'm grateful to God. And I'm understanding this more. And I mean that as even a natural dad. My boys aren't here, so I can talk about them a little bit. But as they get older and as they start to think about girls and different things of that nature, I do encourage them. I say, you know, and you can think, my gosh, what does that guy do at home? What is he sniffing? But I'm praying, God, that they will honor their mom and their dad. I'm hopeful that we can have communication, and I tell them like it is. Oftentimes, a marriage can be the most critical thing you ever do. And oftentimes it is. And equally yoked is a big thing. It's a vital thing in our relationships with people, as it's saying here about good men. When you enter into that, it's very serious. And that's why we need to pray one for another and pray for our young people. Pray for the parents, that they're bold, that you do what you can. I know that many have ones that are older. Oh, brother, you don't know what you're saying. I do. I'm asking the Lord, your great grace. I know you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And if it would come to that time, and first and foremost, as I always say, to find the right person, you got to be the right person. If you're yielding to God and really yielding to God, you'll want somebody that's yielding to God. Because he'll cause you to will and to do of his good pleasure. But that's why we pray. But he's able, and I thank God for that. But these are the things that we need to be encouraged is, again, not just Christians here we're talking about, but those Philadelphia saints, to be with them and how serious and what a time it is. Goes on to say that they that are just, who are the just ones? The ones that live by faith. Praise God. The just shall live by faith. I love the company that I'm with tonight. We love the Word of God. We know that it, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'm thankful to the Lord. It's preaching and receiving the whole counsel of God. What a joy that is to the Godhead. Holy. That always confuses a lot of people. They say, oh, well, how do I be holy? You got to quit in your flesh. You can't be holy. You better give that up. I can't act it. I can't work it. It's just resting in the grace of God of who and what's in me. He's holy. I'm thankful to God that I look to him by grace. I am holy, just, and just confident in the truth that his life lives in me. Brothers and sisters, his life lives in you. It's all there. We spoke about it earlier. I'm thankful to God that, yes, we lay hold, but it's laying hold of something he's already given. Isn't that something? See, it's not afar off. It's in here. He's given me everything. It's not me. It's Christ in me. That's the hope of glory. Isn't that wonderful? And it's all there. It's all complete. And I thank God through that ministering of the Holy Ghost to grow that life up in us. And growing up into him in all things. So this is how we live. And this is how we grow. As mentioned earlier, the little Lord of all. Just grow up, you got it all. You don't need to do anything but be. Amen? Yep. When you're born Lord of all, you just got it. Grow up in it. Now grow up. That lily doesn't toil. Huh? Clothed, amazing. Just grows right up. Hallelujah. All right, temperate. We'll get going through this. This means a little strength here. Pillar-like, unmovable. Things move in and out of our lives. People get real high and low. But I'll tell you, a pillar stands, huh? Pillar doesn't move. Withstand stands, having done all to stand. Nothing's a big deal to God. So as sister over here told her granddaughter, you know, honey, Lord's just shown me things don't matter much. So it really shouldn't be a big deal to me. You know, we do. We have big deals and little deals. And this is a big thing, and that's just a little thing. What's it to God? Nothing's hard for him. Amen? He's able. Giants in the land. What giants? See, Caleb saw with the eyes of God, let's take it now. We're not delaying. We don't need to strategize. Let's sit down and hunker down and figure out how we're going to take this. When God has already given it to you, take it. Take it. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? How about take that he loves me? Always. Never be separated. How about take that he's delivered me from all my guilt? I'll take that too. How about perfect love casts out all fear? Oh, that's a wonderful. Thank you, God. I just take that too. But see, he's already given that. Just take what he's already given. Ask the Holy Ghost, by the grace of God, to enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Lord, it's your life that's living in me. Hallelujah. What precious truth that we have. And then finally in verse 9, and we'll close with this, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, we start off with holding fast. See, there's a crown. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This also means supporting as well, too. There's many meanings in this. And again, like the pillars in Philadelphia, this is a wedlock. This is what couples do. As again, that vessel adding to the usefulness of the husband. That's what this precious saint, this one that, again, is wearing the bridal garments, clothed in them. This is what they emit. And notice, as he hath been taught. See, this isn't something that's instinctual. This doesn't just, well, you know, you're just this way. Oh, no, 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 no. God has called us, brothers and sisters, but we must be fed. We must be taught, and we must be continue to feed and be fed and be taught. I'm so thankful for when Brother Hill encouraged my life as he was about to go to be with the Lord. I asked him, I said, how are you like that? And when he's such a kid, in the sense 94 years old, looking at streams and rivers like an 8-year-old. We got to fish that next time. And I looked at him and said, how are you like that? First of all, he said he never felt old. Now, you sure looked old. But he grabbed me and said, I don't feel old. But then he grabbed me again and he pulled me over to him. He said, son, never stop learning. See, that's the faith as a child. What you got new for me today, Lord? Huh? That's my salvation's new every day. That's why it so grieves me to hear people that have heard the whole counsel of God, the bridal message, and they just say, oh, I've heard that. Just kind of passing it off and that's it. And, you know, not thinking that, oh my goodness, that it was something more. Again, it's that same thing like with a wife or someone that you were going to propose to. That it just is something that, well, you know, I'll show up at the wedding day. Don't worry, honey, I'll be there. You might not see me for a while, but we're still engaged. I don't get that. Can you at least act happy? Could you be a little, you know, excited about being with me? Well, these are the things. And, you know, God help us to understand what it is. But going on, and it says here about that sound doctrine. See, there it is again. You'll never grow in this. You'll never be fully grounded, this pillar, this joyful one, this one that adds to the usefulness of the husband. It will never happen, brothers and sisters, without sound doctrine, wholesome words. There's no other way to truly exhort and convince ones, and it says the gainsayers, that don't want to heed the doctrine. Brothers and sisters, you don't trick people. Don't do that. It's not in climbing walls or coffee bars or entertainment things. I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, brother, when you fish, you got to use all this different bait to catch them. And I thought, oh, my goodness, where are you trying to go with this? See, the fish that they're talking about here, this Titus, this is the better thing. These are the ones that will go after Paul's gospel. And the ones that will go after Paul's gospel, they're enticed and their appetite is one thing, Paul's gospel. I don't need to trick them to get them in here. I'm so thankful to God for, as we teach our young people in this place, whether it's the little bitty ones, middle size, college, whatever it is, we have fun. We get together and do a lot of things. But our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. They learn those paramount truths. I'm so thankful to God that it's the line upon line. And they love to come to church. That's what the grace of God does. It's fun, praise the Lord, when grace grips your heart to learn the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful to know? Isn't it wonderful to be bold? This world of that's more chaos and despair and people complaining and fighting and hating and blaming and cheating and lying. What's the next spoken mirror that we're going to give them? And yet they're just playing, they're just being played by the enemy. Caught up into that whirlwind, that chaos, the author of lies. And you can sit in grace's rocking chair and say, Lord, thou knowest. I read right here what's going on. And all it equates to one thing, his soon appearing. That's what it is. Well, brothers and sisters, I will tell you this. When people don't want it, don't fight with them. Don't try to argue with them. Do not do that. It's too good. It's too awesome. You don't need to use scare tactics. Don't do that. You don't need to try to twist an arm. If you don't want to see that love, if you don't want to know that love, if you don't want to rejoice in that love, if you don't want to hear that love, if you don't want that love, praise God, that wants to seat you in the midst of the throne with Him, in wedlock divine and holy matrimony for the ages to come, I feel sorry for you. I feel very sorry for you. Because one day, absolutely assuredly, you will wish you had. And that is the truth. And I'm so thankful to God. By His grace, we could rejoice someday. And not that we've apprehended. Nope. Not that we have. Oh, but by the grace of God, that we would rejoice someday. Thank you, Jesus, by your grace. I'm so glad you did. Let's stand and be dismissed.